3 months into sanitizing, social distancing, PPE, and other safety precautions, how have things changed at the Roanoke Rescue Mission and the shelters as far as serving meals and its impact on fundraising? Joining WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me live once again, this time by phone, is Roanoke Rescue Mission CEO Lee Clark. Hi, Lee. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning. Glad to be here.
Morning.
Nice to have you along, Lee. Now, this is a big question. It might be a two-parter for you, Lee. Let's start out with this. What type of challenge has it been, Lee, to raise money from donations? Are you seeing fewer maybe from smaller donors who are worried or have lost their jobs? And are you talking to other nonprofits in various sectors?
Well, absolutely. You know, it has been an ongoing challenge. And one of the greatest challenges is simply communication. How do we get the word out about what we're doing? Because there's been so many things that we've changed, we've adapted, we've done everything we can do to keep everyone safe, from guests to staff, and fortunately no one has gotten sick. And if you can imagine an environment where people are in pretty close contact, right? And so we've done lots of things that have changed the way we do things every day. And from a fundraising perspective, it's really meant communicating those changes, letting people know what our challenges are, letting people know what we're doing. And we've really tried to reach out creatively using social media, using video messaging, using just anything we can think of to keep our donors engaged and connected with us in a time when everybody's feeling pretty disconnected.
And the mood has been pretty good, Lee, with the nonprofits. No fundraising events, people with less money to donate. The mood's been pretty good.
Well, you know, I think what the challenge again is that communication, because we've got to be creative. We've got to be smart. You know, we can't have some of those events. We'd scheduled an event for July that we're not going to be able to have. But how do we keep the messaging out there? How do we be creative? You know, for us, we never stop delivering services. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're here. And a big part of our challenge is how do we keep that messaging fresh, creative, out there in front of people, inviting them to get involved how they can. And I think that's one of the greatest challenges and greatest opportunities that we see is that ongoing messaging. How do we keep people connected in a time when we can't be face-to-face?
Morning, Lee. This is Gene. How are you?
I'm good, Gene.
One of the things I know you did, you talk about innovation in fundraising, you opened the Drumstick Dash registration early, and has that been a good move?
You know, it has. We opened it literally probably months before we normally do, and people have responded. You know, I think, you know, giving folks something to look forward to as we look down the road toward November for the Drumstick Dash. It's a beloved event. People from all over enjoy it. They come out a part of it. They look forward to it. You know, as many years as we've been doing this, for 15 years, it has truly become an institution in our community. Now, what that's going to look like in November, we're still trying to figure out. But we did open that registration and invite people to get involved, again, keeping them connected to the mission and what we're doing.
Boy, if you have to stretch all those people out by social distancing, they'll go all the way to Vinton.
You know, you're right. And again, we're looking at how that might look, what that might be like. You know, the governor just released phase three messaging yesterday, didn't say when that was going to start or when even phase four might be in the picture. And again, we want to keep everyone safe, from our guests to our volunteers to our staff, our entire community. And so we're going to be carefully watching all those things.
By the way, Lee, if people want to register early for the Drumstick Dash 5K on Thanksgiving morning, they go to your website?
Absolutely. They can go to rescuemission.net, and you can see a link there to the Drumstick Dash. It's a great way to get connected. It's a great way to support the rescue mission during this time, even in time of uncertainty, to reach out, to show your faith in the work that we do in the community by supporting us through the Drumstick Dash.
Wanted to mention also, you opened up the T-shirt designs this year. There's going to be two T-shirts designed. Kids will design one for, I guess, runners or walkers under 16, and then adults can get in on the fun this year and design a T-shirt design for the older runners and walkers.
You know, again, what we're looking at is how do we engage as many people as possible? We've got a lot of folks out there right now who've been sheltering in place. They've not been able to be out and interact with folks. We're hoping to tap into some of their creativity and to invite that creativity to be involved as a part of the Drumstick Dash to really help us, again, continue to communicate well, get that messaging out there. We'd love to see just as many entries as we can into the shirt designs this year. And then when we get all those in, we're going to figure out how do we best use those and how do we best you know, kind of, again, energize and create that positive energy to support the rescue mission.
And basically what you want to do is people, they can design some kind of design, they can take a picture of it and then email it to you guys, right?
Absolutely. They take a photo of it, email it to us, they can scan it in, send it to us. You know, we'll be bringing all those together. And we're going to look for ways that we invite the public to get involved as well. So how can we get people to vote on those designs and to become engaged with us that way as well? So, again, looking at every way that we can to communicate, connect, and creatively keep the message strong for the rescue mission.
Do you know when the deadline is, Lee, off the top of your head for submissions on designs?
You know, I know that we've extended that through the next week.
Okay.
There's plenty of time to still get involved on that. I don't remember the firm deadline on that, but there's plenty of time to get involved.
Right. We're talking with Roanoke Rescue Mission CEO Lee Clark. And you're talking about messaging. I wanted to go back to your I guess, YouTube videos. And you've become a YouTube star, I guess, Lee. And, you know, you've done things showing what the MANA program's like, showing how you're feeding people in this age of social distancing, packaged meals and all that. Why was that important? Do you feel that you need to, especially if you're asking for donations and volunteers, that you really, 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 really need to let people know what goes on at the rescue mission?
You know, we do. And the way that started for me, Gene, was the very first board meeting that we needed to have when all the coronavirus response kicked off, we could not meet in person. And I wanted to show our board members how we were doing things differently and how we had put in hand washing stations outside the mission, how we were doing temperature checks for people coming through our doors, how we had put hand sanitizer throughout the facility, how our clinic was getting involved with doing a medical intake for new people coming into the mission. Again, with the focus on keeping everyone safe, it was really hard to put all that detail into an email or into some kind of a hard copy document for people to read.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to tangibly show them so that they could connect with the rescue mission during a time when they couldn't physically be here on site, as they provide oversight and guidance for our work. And so that's where it really all started, Gene, was with our board. I wanted to communicate well with them and show them and connect with them all those different things of what we were doing and how we were doing it. And then when we did that for the board, what you know, there was such a great response from them and just you know, being pleased at being able to be connected with our work, we just said, okay, why don't we share that with others? And then from there, we've started doing a weekly message where we send that out. Again, the whole idea is to creatively show how we're working, how it's changing, how we're continuing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even in the midst of this pandemic, to provide emergency services, shelter, food, all the things that are needed when you're experiencing homelessness or addiction. We're right here doing the work that we've always done. Yes, we've had to make some changes. But in the process of that, we're communicating better and stronger, I think. And, you know, I think it's helping people, again, feel connected and know that this rescue mission is here, know that we're a local organization, very integrated into this crisis and helping people in crisis every day, but especially during this pandemic.
8:53 at WFIR, 7 minutes now before the top of the hour. We're talking this morning with Roanoke Rescue Mission CEO Lee Clark. And Lee, you know, we know the rescue mission is always asking for volunteers. Has it been harder to recruit them as of late? Were some afraid to leave their homes? And then what are the volunteers, what are they typically doing, Lee?
Well, it has been more difficult. And that's been one of the greatest challenges, is because our volunteers love to come here and serve, but they're not able to do it right now. Many of them are in an age category or a health category where they're at higher risk. And so as much as they would love to be here, they just simply can't be here right now. So we're having to be very thoughtful about that. You know, we've got all those processes in place I mentioned earlier to keep everyone safe. Unfortunately, no one's gotten sick, but, you know, it has been a time when our volunteers can't come in. And so what it's meant is a lot of times those entry points to the mission and volunteer opportunities like serving lunch or serving dinner, people simply can't get here to do it. And it's really stretched us thin to be able to cover all the things that we do, because we depend on our volunteers to help us out and to deliver those services around the clock that we provide. So we've tried reaching out, you know, maybe to different groups as things start to open back up. We've continued to keep those precautions in place for everyone coming in. But again, just really trying to invite people in, put that messaging out there, and maybe engage some new people who haven't volunteered before. who right now have some time on their hands, maybe that young professional who's working from home and looking for a way to feel connected to others, could come in and volunteer. And so we're really just trying to reach out to folks in every way that we can think of to get that messaging out there. We want to continue to honor those who can't get here right now, because we love them and we want them to come back as soon as they're able. But we're also looking at how do we bring new people in who feel more comfortable volunteering in this time.
We're talking with Roanoke Rescue Mission CEO Lee Clark. A couple minutes left, Lee. I want to ask you, talk about quickly the strain on your meal services, either through the MANA program or your daily meals. Talk about the impact that the coronavirus has had on your meal services.
Well, you know, in two ways. One of the first things that we had to do when the initial days of this response, we had to look at, you know, how do we bring people into the mission? And so for those who were staying with us, we knew them, we had them, we were engaged with them all day, every day, and in the evening. So we knew where they'd been, knew what was going on there. But maybe for folks who traditionally would just come in for lunch or dinner, who were hungry, who weren't staying with us, living in the community, maybe food insecure, but had housing, how do we engage with them? And so one of the things we did right away was we started providing to-go meals. And so we provided to-go meals at lunchtime and dinner. We had to ramp that up quickly and get that ready to go. We did that over a period of probably 2 months. We've just recently opened it back up for people to come back into our dining rooms for lunch and dinner who aren't staying with us, who have housing, but again, are food insecure. We wanted to be able to give them those hot meals again and invite them into the community space. So we've spread out our times for lunch and dinner so that we don't have as many people in our dining rooms at one time. Again, all those things in place in terms of checking temperatures and hand washing stations, hand sanitizers, and all those things are in place for people coming in. But we've had to intentionally, you know, reduce the number of people per table and provide spacing as people are going through the cafeteria line to pick up their meals and all those things to keep everyone safe. And so it's an ongoing challenge. On the MANA side of things with the food box program, what we're seeing is just especially in recent days, increase in demand on that. So as some of the safety net resources that have been out there, whether it might be unemployment or expanded food stamps and things like that have been available during this crisis, as those things start to go away, mm-hmm. what we're anticipating, we're going to see even more demand on people who need help with food coming to us through either the food box program on Saturdays with the MANA program or coming in to eat with us for breakfast, lunch, and dinner here at the Rescue Mission.
Mm-hmm. Roanoke Rescue Mission CEO Lee Clark. I almost hate asking you this, Lee. We only have about a minute left, but when this is over, are there long-term lessons that the Rescue Mission or other nonprofits can learn about how to be ready for a situation like this?
You know, absolutely. We are fortunate here that we have a free medical clinic on site, the Fragrant Free Clinic. We're fortunate we have a team that is used to working in crisis. And what they did was kind of pivoted from that individual crisis working with a person that comes in for the first time to really kind of thinking broader, not losing that focus on the individual, but also thinking about how do we keep everyone that we're serving safe. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, it's meant changing the way we think and planning out a bit further. Really working with our partners, everyone from Roanoke City to other people who provide services like ours in our community, lots of collaboration. But again, staying open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, being creative and being safe at the same time, and then communicating really well to our partners and our volunteers and our donors to invite them to get involved.
Right. Rescue Mission CEO Lee Clark, we're going to have to leave it there. Lee, thank you for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.